Hello, welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. This program is an invitation to join myself, Magla Pillay, and Sister Denise, who has been a Raja Yoga teacher with the Brahma Kumaris for several decades. The format of the show is Socratic Dialogue. This is a philosophical method of systematic doubt and questioning to elicit a clear expression of a truth deemed to be knowable by all rational beings. We will take up a wide variety of subjects related to moral and ethical values. We will question the world's conventional views on these matters. We will analyze and dialogue the topics to gain greater insight and perhaps uncover new foundations for formulating our value systems. Everyone is concerned about doing the right thing. Paradoxically, most people act against their own conscience. We will investigate why this is so. Sister Denise, very warm welcome to today's show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Good to have you here again.
Today's topic is values and corruption. And we live in a world where corruption is omnipresent. And yet most people on the external have what appears to be a value system. To me, both are irreconcilable. What impact does one have on the other?
There is a phenomenon known as compartmentalization. Compartmentalization means that you can have one part of your mind and intellect with one set of values, and there's a wall, and then another part of your mind has another set of values, and it's impermeable. So that what people do is, according to circumstances and situation, they will flip from one section to another without appreciating that they have shifted from one value system to an opposing value system. And in this way, they are able to get around the fact that the two are irreconcilable. And this is a character defect. So I think we need to talk about this a little bit.
Okay.
You have a value system that you grew up with, which says you should be honest, upright, etc., etc. So you say, yes, this is good. Then you find yourself in another situation, your professional situation or whatever, the person who's in their setting that corresponds with the way they were raised in terms of their morality and ethics, that may be their home situation. So in that environment, they have that morality and ethics. Move to a different environment, their professional environment, where they need to show their importance through gaining more money than perhaps their salary provides, through showing off or showing themselves to be something greater than they are, and they have opportunities to enrich themselves dishonestly, they will apply a different ethical and moral system. And then they come home, and all of a sudden they're in the original ethical system. There's this wall between the two where they are able to kind of shift from one ethical system to another without realizing, without appreciating, without accepting that these two are mutually exclusive and totally incompatible. This is a character defect. It's a kind of a blindness of spirit, and this is really the problem.
And so, which begs the question?
So, for example, they will keep the two environments really separate. They will never allow anyone from their family to meet them at work, because that family member would see that there's an incompatibility here. They would never bring any work people home, because they would see that there's an incompatibility. So this is called compartmentalization. And this is what a lot of people do that allows them to get away with these things. So what we have to do is make the wall permeable. And now there's a number of different ways to do that. And of course, the best way is to get the people from one situation to go into the other situation and vice versa. Because sooner or later, it will be noticed that there's an incompatibility. Someone from work will notice something, someone from home will notice something, and they will sort of raise the alert, as it were. But a lot of people do get away with it. And sometimes it happens that there's collusion from the people at home so that you teach your children that set of values, but then when it comes to your position socially, maybe the children are not there, and then you operate on this other set of values. And then gradually you train the children to have two incompatible sets of values. And this then becomes a society of people who agree that this wrong thing is okay because it makes us look better. And then, you know, it's very fuzzy thinking going on at that time. So that you're corrupting your children, but you're never admitting to it, you're pretending, you see. So the quality of the relationship of the family is filled with dishonesty, and it's all about looking good to the public or the people outside. And so your home will be very hollow because of that. Mm. And so the quality of your relationships will be bad, and then that will start showing up where there's loss of communication between the generations.
Mm. So Denise, as you speak, I'm thinking of a scenario of a young man in his 20s who wants to build his own conscience, adhere to a good value system, be honest internally and externally. And yet, he takes a look at everyone around him and he thinks, what is the point? My honesty will be totally lost in the world that we're living in. There's so much of darkness. He's of the view that his own little light will not matter. Why? Do you have a different view? And does it matter?
The individual may want to be corrupted or may find that corruption abhorrent. Hmm. There are really, in a way, two kinds of people. So the kind of person who says, you know, I will not at any cost allow myself to be corrupted, they start to see what the cost is. And the cost is you'll be sidelined, you'll be isolated, you may be threatened. And so then you have to see, are you prepared to handle that? Are you going to change your profession or something? Because it really depends on the individual. Do you really value your soul, or are you tempted by the promises and the temptations of greed and status and so on? So it's really between these two things. So the person who has a price and can be bought and manipulated and corrupted, you know, that's a weak soul. And there's a lot of them around. And the person who refuses it, they may pay a heavy price, but at least they are aligned with their spirit. And they may well be able to pull through and become really very strong people, even though it may be very challenging.
Yeah. So what I got from what you just said is that at every single step, an individual has a choice. And even though he may already be walking down the path of corruption, he can always stop.
Every step he takes down the path of corruption, it's more difficult to stop, and the price of stopping is higher. so that if you can detect that you're in a corrupt environment which wants to corrupt you, then get out as quickly as you can. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult and more difficult as you go further down.
Okay. So certain, are there instances in life where we have to change our situation? Okay, this is my question. How does one know whether to change the situation, in other words, to remove yourself from the situation, or to change yourself? How do you know?
Well, you have criteria, you see. For example, if you're in a situation where you're being violated, and you say, I'm being violated, to yourself, this is not okay, then you have to really sit with yourself quickly and say, you know, is this my bottom line, or am I going to go lower? Am I going to allow myself to be violated until it becomes a certain level, you see? Because people have like a bottom line which they won't allow anyone to cross. And you have to know what your bottom line is. If it's very low, that's not so good. Keep it relatively high. And then you can come out of a bad situation quickly, because your criteria will be violated. And that's how you know, you see. So if you live by certain principles, and those principles are sacred to you, and in a relationship, whether it's a personal relationship or a professional relationship, if your principles are getting violated, then you have to say, all right, goodbye. This is where I leave, you know, because these are my principles. You don't want to relate to me according to my principles, so thank you very much. Goodbye.
Mm. Denise, the scenario that you just described has professional and personal consequences for people. Okay? What if you love somebody who's corrupt? What if you're professionally in a contractual relationship with somebody who's corrupt? How do you extricate yourself from such a scenario?
Well, I wouldn't say the person is corrupt, but the person is performing actions that are against the agreement. Whether if it's a professional agreement, that agreement will be violated by the corrupt action, and so then that negates the contract. If you love someone who's corrupt, then you have to look at yourself and say, you know, do you love corrupt action? Or what is going on here? Because love is that you wish to extend yourself and share your life with somebody because of their qualities. Now, if you discover that the qualities are not as you thought, and the person is not the one that you loved, they reveal aspects of themselves that are not lovable, then you don't love them, and then you end the relationship.
Oh, I see.
And this is why it's very good to have a bottom line very clearly set out, and to have your criteria on the basis of which you will continue a relationship. And if you are fuzzy about that, then you know, you allow yourself to be violated in many ways, which means you are weak in terms of your principles. Mm. So you have been corrupted right there.
Sister Denise, I once heard it said that every single, well, let's exclude children, every single adult in the world is corrupt. The only question is, to what degree? Do you believe that? Or, but it also depends, I suppose, on what one's definition is of corruption. Okay, do you believe that? And how, if so, what is the remedy? How do you pull back from that scenario?
I think that that statement could well be quite correct.
I was expecting you to say the opposite.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, in Raj Yoga, there is a very interesting thing that we work with. And it is a phrase that to have all your relationships fulfilled by one is your destination.
Okay, you have to repeat that one.
To have all your relationships fulfilled by one, that means the Supreme Being, God, that is your destination. The thing is, a relationship means that you get something from someone. And when you get something from someone who's corrupt, and you depend on that person, then you become corrupt.
Mm.
Now, if you say, I really want to be free from corruption, that means that you will not try to sustain yourself from any other human being. You will fulfill your duty, but you will not take support from anyone. You will take support only from God, only from your understanding of truth, which means that you're ready to be isolated from the people of the world. So that means that you are saying, okay, I choose to make myself and keep myself free from any kind of corruption at any cost, which is a high cost. There are very, very few people in this world who operate like that. And if you find someone like that, they are really a shining light in a dark sea of corruption. So one thing it does is it shows you that it's possible, and these are really the great souls of the world who are like this. And if you are attracted to that, it means that you aspire to greatness yourself, which is a big aspiration, but nothing wrong with having a big aspiration. I think, though, in terms of most people, you are willing to be slightly corrupt, and then you have a bottom line that the corruption level up to this point, but not more than that. So that is a much less absolutist point of view. So there are many people who have, you know, who place this line that beyond this I will not accept any corruption. I think that when a person wants to build themselves spiritually, this bottom line will change position as the person gets more pure and more strong, and it will be raised until perhaps they are even able to reach this destination of taking support only from the One.
Okay. So Denise, the thing with corruption, or let me put it more practically, dishonesty, is that you engage in dishonest behavior because you can get the money, the car, the person, the thing, and that which you want is visible in front of you, and you think, I want that, and I'll employ this method to get it. Doesn't matter what method I have to employ, because that's what I want. Corruption offers a reward, in inverted commas, whereas honesty, okay, you can't see anything in front that you get from it. In other words, it may not be a physical thing that you get from it. What is the change that needs to be made so that people understand that all is not as it seems?
If you're operating in such a way that you can be corrupted, it means that you are susceptible to temptation and terror. These are the two forces that are being applied to you, and you're going for them. The reward of honesty is that these two forces have no power over you. That's a big reward. Much bigger than a car or a boat or a house or a whatever.
Yeah, I think that's the dilemma that people face, because they literally have nothing in their hands if they're honest, whereas somebody who's maybe dishonest has something gets something.
So yes, but it falls through the fingers, you see. It's only temporary.
Okay. So the reward of being honest is?
That you are invincible.
You're invincible. Okay. The other aspect that came to mind as I'm listening to you speak is, in order to combat corruption in today's world, there are people who've taken it upon themselves, because there are a number of people who are sick and tired of corruption, okay? Good quality human beings, but who employ violence to combat corruption. I've seen this unfold. And I'm wondering, is this the only way?
If you apply a method that is corrupt to destroy corruption, you won't destroy it.
Can I stop you there? There are the expression, you fight fire with fire. I understand why people behave like in the scenario that I just enunciated, but they believe that there's no other way. What is your take on that? When people employ violence to destroy corruption, when they employ other also corrupt means, what is your take on that?
The only way I feel that you can destroy corruption is not to go at it in a combative or adversarial way. You have to make yourself uncorrupt. And the individual is a sort of microcosm, is a microcosm. And if you see the macrocosm is corrupt, it is simply that the individuals are weak. And when people are weak, then they're tempted and they are easily terrorized. The individual who says, let me make myself uncorrupt, that is, I will not be drawn by temptation, I will not be afraid of threat, you see. I'll make myself strong, I will fill myself with that light. One by one, the individual individuals do this, you reach a tipping point, a critical mass, and then it changes the situation. There is also a spiritual law that's very interesting. Whenever the extreme is reached, it stops. So I think that corruption, if it's getting close to the extreme, the end, it will finish very abruptly. And the person who is working to make themselves pure and unable to be bought or terrorized, they become the ones who are in power once that extreme is reached.
Mr. Denise, when it comes to the subject of corruption, how does one really know this is the right thing to do and this is the wrong thing to do? What is your yardstick? Do you use your own conscience? Do you call somebody? Do you Google the answer? Where does one find the answer? Because there's certain scenarios that one finds oneself in where the line between right and wrong is a hairline crack.
Definitely it is, and you need to make yourself so sensitive and so clean that you can feel it intuitively. And at the same time, if you say, okay, this is wrong, I will not do it, this is right, I will do it, you're taking a risk by following that, and there's no guarantee. So you have to be very courageous to take that risk. And people who do that, they find that that risk is the thing that carried them across. But taking a risk is really taking a step of courage, moral courage.
Taking a step of moral courage. Where does the divine feature in all of this?
To me, your meditation is your connection with the divine. And the divine is absolutely pure. If you're not pure, you can't make connection or you can't hold it. The more you're making the effort to hold it, the more it purifies you and the more you can see clearly. So this is where the divine actually alters the quality of your intellect, your conscience is refined, and you become able to operate with that clarity and that purity.
And so does one feel God's support in this process? Is that does that translate into a feeling, an experience?
I think what God would do is withdraw from you so that you feel no support, and you take a step which results then in you claiming your power. And I think God wants to see, are you clean enough, are you strong enough to do this if I'm a little bit back? So that's a test, and I think that God will test to see who is clean.
I see. So value system involves a certain amount of cleanliness, a high value system.
You
use the word clean differently.
You make yourself clean, and you work with your conscience, you work with your intuition, and then you set your criteria. That's your value system. And I think that as you become more and more clean and pure, you're able to raise the bar on your value system. And then you become more and more in your power and in your self-respect, in your nobility as a human being. You are raising the quality of your whole self, and your values correspond with that.
Okay. Sister Denise, thank you so much for all your sharing today. I have learnt a lot, and I hope that all of you watching at home have done so as well. Sister Denise took up various aspects in the subject of values and corruption, and she says that although one does not see may receive what you want through corruption, she used a lovely expression that it will fall through your fingers because it's only temporary, and if you're honest, you will be rewarded in the long run. And the message that I got from what Sister Denise was saying is that a person who's value-based is somebody who is always in their self-respect. But I think the most important part of what I got from today's talk is that it's doable. Corruption is a choice, and to be a person who's grounded in virtues and values is also a choice. And at any point in your life, you have the ball is always in your court. And that's what I think I like most about today's talk, Sister Denise. It makes it so practical, it makes it doable. It does not put it out there somewhere on planet Mars that makes it unreachable. So thank you so much for what you've shared today. And thank you at home for joining us. Please take this conversation further to your friends, your family, your children, so that we together can make the world a better place. Thank you and goodbye.